Have you ever considered twirling with your eyes open? It's not something I plan in advance. I reached up and tried again to pull my hair loose, then winced with the pain. Philip stepped right up to me, took my hands in his, and lowered them so that they rested against his chest.
"Allow me," he said.
Then he moved his arms around me and began to untangle my hair. If someone saw us from a distance, I suspected it might look as if we were embracing. I could feel him breathe, and I watched my hands move with the rise and fall of his chest. I could smell him, that mixture of clean linen and soap, and something that reminded me of the woods on a sunny day. Something inside of me melted. I felt a gentle tug, and his fingers brushed my ear, my neck. I was getting hot and rather breathless. To distract myself, I asked a question I had on my mind for quite a while. "Philip, why did you keep your identity a secret from me when we met at the inn?" He paused to look into my eyes.
"Fate handed me a rare opportunity to talk to a lady without wondering if she was only interested in my wealth or title. And not just any lady."
He smiled crookedly, and my heart skittered in my chest.
"I couldn't pass up that opportunity. Your candor was worth the risk of your anger."
It was as if his words had turned on a light. I understood Philip now in a way I never had before. I thought of how he had not wanted me to call him Sir, even though that was exactly what I should have called him. And the day we talked in the library, he had gone to the kitchen himself to get us our food instead of sending a servant to do it. I thought of the promises we had made to each other, and I thought of how he had tried to run away from Cecily, who was only interested in his title and wealth. Philip wanted to be loved for who he was, without consideration of his inheritance. He gave one last tug, and all of my hair fell free, cascading down my back. Philip had taken out all of my pins, and I felt undone. He stroked my hair from the top of my head all the way down my back. Then his hand circled my waist, and he pulled me closer.
"You know, we have some unfinished business," he said. "I still want that painting, and now I have something of value to offer for it."
"What is that?" I was having a hard time focusing on his words, because my gaze had caught on his mouth, and the line of his jaw, and the way the corner of his lips twitched when he was trying not to smile. I wanted to kiss it all. He touched my chin, lifting my face so that my eyes met his.
"I will give you a title for it."
I chewed on my lip, regarding him with misgiving. This was wrong. In light of my recent understanding, I couldn't accept his offer. I shook my head. "I've never cared very much about having a title." His eyebrows drew together, and his gaze turned questioning.
"Then what about everything around you? Would Edenbrook be enough?"
I pushed away the lock of hair that fell across his brow and sighed. "No, as much as I love it here, I can't sell it to you for your land." He looked utterly solemn now, and more than a little worried.
"You don't need my money."
"That's correct." He bent his head. I felt bad for the distress I was obviously causing him, but I knew this needed to be done.
"I have nothing more to offer," he whispered.
I grasped his lapels and stood on my toes so I could look clearly into his eyes, so he could not mistake my meaning. "I do not want anything you can offer me. Remember our vows?" He nodded. His hands rested on my waist, pulling me closer. "I just want you, Philip. You. I will give you the painting in exchange for your heart." He looked away quickly, and I sensed a great struggle within him. When he finally looked back at me, his eyes were shining with amazement and admiration, and that great secret I had seen at the inn after his fight with Mr. Beaufort. It was shining just as clearly now as it had that night, but now I knew what to call it. Philip loved me.
"Marianne," he said in a throaty voice that made my heart thud hard in my chest. He lifted a hand from my waist and stroked my blushing cheek with the back of his fingers, his touch as light as a breeze. His skin felt cool against the heat of my blush. "You darling girl," he murmured, tilting my chin up as he lowered his lips to mine. This time I knew enough to kiss him back. He caught his breath, and then I felt his lips curl up into his wicked grin. It was delicious. A few minutes later, he moved his lips from mine to kiss my cheek, the corner of my jaw.
"I have a proposal,"
he said, his breath tickling my neck.
"Another one?"
I smiled, leaning into him, my heart pounding so loud I was sure he could hear it.
"This one is for after the wedding. How would you like to go to the continent? I could give you your very own grand tour."
I couldn't speak.
"You're welcome to twirl if you need to,"
he said with a laugh.
"You don't mind?"
He shook his head.
"I've been dying to see it, actually."
So I twirled for Philip, with my hair flying around me, feeling like I could break into flight at any moment. He grabbed me around the waist when I was close to colliding with another tree.
"That was lovely," he said, pulling me close. "But perhaps you should keep your eyes open in the future."
"Good idea," I murmured, smiling into the eyes of my best friend, who did not mind my twirling at all.
"I just remembered,"
Philip said, reaching into the pocket of his coat.
"I forgot to give you this."
It was my locket, which Philip had demanded from Mr. Beaufort. I had forgotten about it after the drama of the events at the inn. Now Philip clasped it around my neck, and I felt it settle like a charm about me. I put my hand over the locket, pressing the precious reminder of my mother against my chest. My own heart beat strong and sure beneath it, and I felt that everything that had been missing was restored, and that all was right in the world. Then Philip and I walked hand in hand back to the house and made our way to the library, where we finally played that game of chess.
We hope you have enjoyed this unabridged production of Edenbrook by Julianne Donaldson, read for you by Emily Elizabeth Hamilton. This program was produced and directed by Kenny Hodges. Executive producers, Chris Schobinger and Heidi Taylor. Copyright 2012 by Julianne Donaldson. Production copyright Shadow Mountain. All rights reserved. To find out more about the author, we invite you to visit www.juliecdonaldson.com.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.